Rules of Parliament requires the committee in the absence of the chairperson to mention up the second chairperson. So that's the process I'm going to facilitate, and the acting chairperson will take over. So after that, now I request the members to make a nomination for the acting chairperson for the day. Honorable Avram?
Good morning, all. Good morning, Mr. Secretary. I propose Honorable Hope in the chairperson of the day. Thank you.
Okay, Honorable Malcolm. Honorable Politic.
Thank you.
Okay, yes, are there any other nominations? There aren't any. So, Honorable Malcolm, you are to be declared as the acting chairperson for the day. You may come and take a seat. Thank you.
Honourable members and officials from the department, the officials from NGA, the CEO, and then the board members. I'd like to welcome you to this meeting, and I hope that the meeting that we're having today will not, you know, if we all work together, we'll be ending our meeting at 1 o'clock. But as soon as we are completed with the department itself, then it will only be committee business, and we'll check the department release. And with those short words, I'd like to welcome everyone to the meeting, and I'd like to, because we're doing the policy speech of NDA, and after the policies, I'll tell everyone what is the process. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I have apologies from the Minister and Deputy Minister. They are attending the cabinet meetings. One is from Honourable Dudley. She's out of the country in Strasbourg. And one is from Honourable Vanamara. She's attending the Chief Zora. Yeah, I think those are the apologies I've received.
Thanks so much.
And the Chairperson as well.
Thanks a lot.
And the PG I've received from Kennedy, the apologies for him not being able to attend today's meeting.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. The Honourable, yeah. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. Just a brief one. We have a, not an apology, Honourable Hickok is going to be a little bit late. She's just busy with the press issue at the moment. We apologize for the
thanks a lot for that, Honourable Wilson. We'll make a note of that, that you will be a bit late. And then, going to the agenda, we're looking at the strategic plan and the budget vote of the National Development Agency, and that will be our brief this morning. So what I'd like to do, asking whether we receive a letter to say who is leading the delegation this morning. I always want to know who's the council officer in the meeting. Thank you.
For the apology. I'm not present. I haven't given it.
Okay. I think that you follow up on that letter, because according to the DG, when I found out if I was present in the meeting, then you said a letter was written to us. And I'm not sure whether the letter went to the chairperson's office or to whose office. So we have to just follow up on it, because I want to know who are going to be accountable. So I would like to know from the department that we could have admitted who is accountable with your name, please.
Thanks, Chair. From the department, Ms. Valencia. Kwale, the DDG for community development, will be responsible. And from our knowledge, I think later was sent or notified in terms of this process today.
I'd like to thank you, and that we're going to now do is in the council officer by report, because we will adopt our minutes at the later stage, and then at the same time we'll check with the department where is this letter, because I told yesterday there is a letter. Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
In terms of the NDA Act, the report is made up of members of civil society and the government representatives. So an advert went out for the appointment of the members of civil society who duly applied. Shortlisting was done and a recommendation was made to the minister to finally appoint. So in terms of the NTA Act, we follow the Act to the matter, as well as the appointment of government representatives. The chairperson wanted to know what their role is as the...
Because the role would come after we are clarified as a committee. What I'd like to know, and I'm sure the committee would like to know, I made a statement at the beginning that we were under impression that we are supposed to do it. So what I'd like, I know what Act is saying. I know what the Act is saying, but everyone needs their clarification. I think we have to speak to the Act itself, because you can Section 5 of the Act. Tell us, how do the Section 5 of the Act work? Thank you.
If I change you, the member, thanks, Chairperson. Let me take you through the, take the members, Chairperson, the members, in terms of the Act. In terms of the NDA Act as amended, Section 5.1 says that the NDA Act through a body consisting of 6 members to represent the government appointed by the Minister of Finance, after consultation with the Minister of Education and Health. I think this section has been amended. B, nine members to represent the civil organization appointed by the Minister after an open and transparent process of considering a short list of candidates presented to the Minister by a panel, comprising an equal number of representatives from the State Department and of experts in the development field established by the Minister for that purpose. Section 5.2 says, for the purpose of the appointment of the member of the board referred to in subsection 1b, the minister must, through the media and by notice in the Gazette, invite nominations of persons as candidates for such appointment. 3, at least 2 members of the board must have proven knowledge or experience of the financial management. 4, where the members of the board are appointed and the panel is established, the composition of the public must be considered. Must reflect broadly the race, gender, and the geographic composition of the public, which must be considered. 5A, the first meeting of the board must be held at such time and place and chaired by such member as the minister determines. And I think the process is entails, after the advertisement, there shall be a panel that is established to select in terms of the requirements that has been preset, and those members will be then the panel will then make recommendations to the minister, so the minister appoints the board members, and I think that's the process that we follow to the letter.
Thanks a lot for that. I'd like to ask the members if there's any questions now that you'd like to ask. Because according to what, when I asked the Secretary to check the Act yesterday, the Act says that the members of the board is appointed by the minister. But I'd like to know if there are any questions from our members that we can get on with our meeting, please. Thank you. Any questions? Honourable Wilson, and then.
Thank you, Chair. I think the Act is pretty clear on the process that needs to be followed, and that in fact the appointment of the board is done by the minister. However, I think it's a subject we're going to have to discuss in this committee, because to bypass the portfolio committee completely on an entity that is all part and parcel of our oversight. You know, even if we said this was the shortlist and this is who's considering, or if we'd been advised who the panel was, just to make the election of a board a little more transparent, I think that would have been helpful. I understand that it is not what the Act says, but I think it would have been nice just to know who was shortlisted, where they were coming from, what NGOs or fields they represent, and that kind of thing. We can't change the process. The process has been done, but I think we need to just at some stage get a little bit more transparency in the process. Thank you.
Honourable Abrams. Can I first answer longer than Honourable Abrams? You may sit there.
Thank you, Tricia. I think on the light of what has been explained, you know, there's nothing that we can do. We can't change the names now. But perhaps we need to identify or to get a sense of whether they're representative, if it is implicated in the end. Whether there are people who are coming from the civil society, I think that is very much important just to establish before we can move forward. Unfortunately, we didn't have an opportunity to even introduce ourselves. Maybe that should be that opportunity so that the members of the board that are here are able to say, I'm so and so and coming from this, so that we establish, because we don't want, I think the most important people in the board are the ones that are coming from the civil society. I'm not saying those who are coming from the department aren't important. But that is a very critical part, the representative of the board, whether is it represented the way it is stipulated in the Act. But I just wanted us to establish that by way of finding out here if those 9 people, as the Act is saying, the 9 people should be coming from the civil society, and the 6 that should be coming from the department, who are appointed, if I understand very well, or nominated by the Minister of Finance in conjunction with other ministers that are stated there in the Act.
Thank you. Thanks for that. It's a very good approach, and I'd like to thank you for the question. I'd like to go back to the department just to speak a bit with them, and because I want to leave the reductions of everyone so we clarify this issue. Because now you're sitting in the meeting with people that's not supposed to be there. But we are at the conclusion that the Act is this. And we have to take that. Thank you.
Chairperson, I think it would be proper if I could illustrate for you all the members as appointed before you, because not all of them are available, to give you a feel in terms of what is members from the civil society organization, who are the members from the government representatives that are here. We have the 6 members from the civil society organizations representative are Ms. Judy Evans, Ms. Fazolide, Tando, Makan, Ms. Suraya B.V. Khan, Mr. Abraham Haneko.
That is not understood. What I really wanted us to have is when you say it's not Shabbatulating from Sango, for example, from want to know where are you coming from, when we establish. Because I didn't want a situation whereby they are coming from one organization, a civil society organization, and that's not fairly representative.
No, thank you for that. That was my line of thinking. So I think what would be good to do, before we read the list of the names, let us speak to the board members who are here, and the board members, like we'll start the chairperson, indicate from where do the person come from. Thank you.
Thank
would
you.
That be in order? Could you give that instruction?
Yes. Thank you very much. We will request the members to introduce themselves. The chairperson of the board is Ms. Judy Evans. Over to you, Judy.
And then she might say to know, would like to know the problems and all that. Now, look at the subject.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thanks for the opportunity for us as the newly instituted board to address this August sitting of this committee. My name is Judy Hermans. I come from the Western Cape, the northern suburbs of the city in particular. I come from a civil society background, serving in rate failures and community projects. I also serve in CBOs and NGOs. Iko Inkwezi is an NPO, Uhuru is an NPO. I come from that type of civil society activist background.
Thank you. Health Commissioner and all the members.
Thank you. My name is Zoli Letando Magani. I come from not from a civil society background, but I have been involved in development projects regarding water. I'm a water scientist by profession. I worked with the Water Research Commission before moving on to the intelligence environment, in which I was working with head of ministerial service, and then I became Inspector General of Intelligence.
Thank you. I think that concludes on the further side, and then you go across.
Hi everybody, my name is Abraham Hanekom. I'm from civil society and serve on the board of Witness Change, an international organization for human rights. I've been involved in LGBTI rights, refugee rights. I was the chair of the board of ASOP, former director. I'm on the board of EBS South Africa. I was the former national coordinator for Food Allied Workers Union, focusing on migrant workers and farm workers. I'm the secretary of Friends of Cuba, Western Cape. I was the treasurer of Ikayangoko Housing Project. I have completed a diploma in humanitarian assistance through the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine. Thank you.
Thank you a lot for that. And you're from Western Cape?
I was born in Zimbabwe, but I'm from and live in the Western Cape.
And sir, from which province are you?
From Gauteng.
Oh, Gauteng. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Ms. Hanekom. Thank you, the next person, please.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Maoro Manya. I'm a farmer in Zanin, and I am coming from the Civil Society of Women in Agriculture and Rural Development. Thank you.
The following? Oh, we're four, yeah. Oh, I see.
Thanks a lot. I thought you were more in the meeting. For the introduction, and I'd like to speak to the members now. How do the members feel about the introduction that we continue now with the meeting? But I think before we do that, just tell us which members are absent.
That's not the reason to get into today's meeting.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and the members. I was reading a list. Let me read the six members first, and then we will do the exclusion mechanism. To say this one is not here. He is Ms. Judy Hermans as the chairperson. Mr. Zoli Letando Magani is a reappointment to the board as a deputy chairperson. Ms. Soraya Bibi Khan, she's not here. She's a reappointment as a member also. Mr. Abraham Haneko, it's a new appointment. Ms. Seven Zile Matebola is not here, it's a new appointment. And Ms. Mashila Makala is also not here. Government representative, we have got Ms. Tavita Shange, is in a reappointment. Mr. Makwavela Moses Chikane, it's a new appointment, not here. Ms. Denise Manya, new appointment. And Ms. Fazana Vatia, new appointment. Not here.
Now, thanks a lot for telling us who all the members are. And then I'll just hand over quickly to our honorable members. Then we're just going to start with the introductions. And then after the introductions, we'll continue with the meeting. Any man want to say anything? Yes, Honourable Secretary.
I was hoping also on the mental or government representatives to have a sense, because now I'm just saying all of them are coming from social development where I'm sitting. I thought to have a sense that so and so is coming from this department, so and so is coming from this. Can we perhaps, I don't want to go out of this house with an assumption that everybody is coming from the state social development.
Thanks a lot for that. Honourable Wilson.
Hi.
is I just get the sense of who's coming from government, yes?
And then we're going to start with the meeting proper.
Chairperson, and honourable members, I think what we could do is to provide you a list of the members, where they come from, which department they're coming from. I think we can provide that, because we don't have that information at the present. If it is acceptable. The members that we brought is only those four.
Uncle Kulani.
Can I say, since you have asked me to see, I've been putting my hands in the air. Okay, fine. Now, Chairperson, you know, I don't know how the department is working with us. Today is the first meeting with the board of NDA, and the department doesn't have information for us as members of this committee. And I don't think it was good for us asking names, whether the department was supposed to provide it to us. It goes there on the issue of transparency and trust. Where is the trust that the department is putting the NDA watch to us? We're supposed to work together as a team, and we're supposed to do an oversight. We do understand in terms of the process of appointing. We're singled out as the committee. We're not even involved. Not wanted to sit on there, but the information sharing to have a trust, say this is our people that we're going to work with. Even if today, so it was supposed to be very smart for the department to welcome the board in a very good manner, but the way they're doing it, they're just taking us for granted. Thanks, Chairperson. I think I'm just doing my job.
Fine, I'm going to close the meeting and close the subject now, but I'd like Ms. Wilson to, Honourable Wilson, to speak. Then I'll tell you what is my summary on it. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Can we just encourage you when this board is actually elected? We've discussed the transparency issues. Last meeting we had a whole lot of discussion on communication. It is not happening with this portfolio. We're not getting information. It's concerning. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, but that question I thought will the chairperson speak. You know, because we're going to ask the department to speak, then they have to just put it in because we need to know. Because when it comes to the Act, there's another instruction the Act needs. But in summary, I would like to thank the members. And I'd like DSC, like DSC said, we'd like to have the names of each board member. That would be good. And just a short little background on each one. So, you know, and know whether they come from civil society, who comes from the department, etc. And that must be sent to the secretary of the committee. So we are wrapping up now on who is the board, and we have either the department clarify us that the access must be appointed by the minister. And then as we go on, we'd like to know when were they appointed, etc. But quick, because everyone is speaking on this side, I would like the honourable members to introduce themselves. And once that is done, everyone on our left-hand side who was not introduced would like you to introduce yourself. Thank you. Honourable members.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm Master Chamsuledi, a member of this committee coming from the Free State.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. My name is Beam Avis. I come from Housing and a member of this committee. Thank you.
Morning, dear colleagues. My name is Patrick. My surname is Mapido. I'm from the largest province in the country, the Northern Cape. Thank you very much.
Okay,
my name is Lindy Wilson and I represent the DA in the Limpopo province.
Good morning, Chair and members. My name is Bridget Masango, representing Gauteng.
Maleni Nonke Malam Mukino Shwanti.
Thank you, Honourable Members. And as we go along, we will translate, because we sort of like speaking in another language. So we'll just translate for those that don't know, and we appreciate it. We'd like the officials to start with the content advice and researcher.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning to the members. My name is Vedisa Lokenga. I'm the content advisor of the committee.
Good morning, Chair and the members and the department. My name is Siavia Kutula Koyana. I'm the researcher for the committee.
And I could have been, I'll keep you. The two of you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Rose Gomnyo from the committee of today.
Hi, my name is Tandi Makubelela, Executive Secretary for the Chairperson.
Thank you. Next one.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Linda Zanzano. I'm the Committee for the Committee. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for the introduction. And I'm Otmarha, Honourable Member, and I'm the Whip of the Committee. I'm just appointed Chairperson today. The Honourable Mama Papa is the Chairperson of this committee. Thank you. We'd like to get to the people first from the department. They didn't introduce themselves. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. For this opportunity, I am Pichana Chibari, the DDG responsible for community development, which the NDA reports to in the department. I'll request members to introduce themselves.
Good morning, Chairperson and honorable members. My name is Neil Osman Masilela, Department of Social Development Office for the DCDS.
The next please.
Good morning, Chairperson and honorable members. My name is Bongani Magumo. I'm the Executive Director for Management Development and Research in the NDA.
I didn't ask any eight institutions, so I think the department. Who's from the department?
We are the only two.
Thank you, because we're not exactly who is speaking to. Now, NDA.
Chairperson.
But I think with NDA, we have first start with the highest person in NDA. There we go down. Because we start with the highest people. And now going down again, and we'll go up. Thank you.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members. My name is Nelly Siwe Vilangazi. I'm Acting Chief Executive Officer for NDA. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for that. Now we hand over to your people on your instruction then.
My name is Bongani Magomo. I'm the Executive Director for Management, Development and Research at the NDA.
Good morning, Jefferson. Honorable Jefferson and honorable members. My name is Anthony Bower. I'm the COO for the National Development, Acting CEO for the National Development Agency.
Another point.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, honorable members. My name is Solomon Shingange from the National Development Agency, currently acting as the Chief Financial Officer.
You have two Chief Financial Officers. Next.
Good morning, honorable members of the August House. My name is Rahabu Ben Mahai. I'm the newly appointed Cabinet Secretary for the National Development Agency. Thank you.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I am Haisha Mansour, the Chief Audit Executive at the NDA.
Honorable Members, I'm Kemal Lai from the NDA, and we are managing the audit service.
We have someone here.
Good morning, I'm Caroline Kimini from PND.
How is
Good morning.
morning. My name is Ingrid Ngabo. I'm the PLO in the department.
Morning, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. My name is Banavisa Mudawum. I'm the PLO in the Office of the Deputy Minister. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for that. Now we all know each other. We know exactly now who we are speaking to. So I think we can start with the meeting as a whole. What I'd like, the procedure of the meeting, I'd like the department, if there's anything they would like to say overall, I'd like them to speak to it. And then once that is done, I'd like the chairperson just to speak about, very briefly, the role of the board. You know that synergy. How are you going to work together? And then after that, we'll go into the oversight and we'll ask Mrs. Malakari to speak, the acting CEO. Thank you. Mr. Nachitari, thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson and members. From the department point of view, it is proper that we introduce the entity and also to remind the House why the entity, which is a Section 3A in terms of the Act, was established. The fundamental issue that we should recognize, and especially when we are going to be taking the strict plan and the APP of the NDA, hinges around issues of poverty. You realize that the NDA was established in the period after democracy, where governments was looking at and is still looking at the issue of addressing poverty. The Department of Social Development broadly focuses on the overall improvement and enhancement in the quality of life for all the people, and recognizes that for us to deal with poverty, we need to have many civil society organizations empowered to deal with issues of poverty. The ADA is a service delivery arm of the department, or a service delivery vehicle of the department, focusing on mobilizing civil society, the private sector, and committees to address poverty. And you will see, as the strategies presented, the approach in which they take in dealing with issues of poverty. We should also take cognizance that in poverty alleviation, programs that deal with poverty alleviation need to address issues of income, human capital, asset poverty, and also focusing on household. And we'll see they will touch on issues of ECD, and we'll say how does the ECD come in. It is an issue that within the household, the children, and within the community, we have to use an approach which is called a no-miss approach. We therefore, in tabling the stretch plan for the NDA and the APP, that we should take cognizance that their work complement issues of the development within the country, focusing on poverty alleviation, and especially focusing on the poorest, as the civil society needs to be part and parcel of our poverty alleviation strategy, so that we can have a collective action and we have a non-miss approach. With that, ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome the NDA CEO for the for that purpose, or as the chairperson and director.
Thanks a lot for that. And I think what's going to be important before we go into the chairperson speaking, I'd like Mrs. Honorable Abrams just to welcome the board, because we had a lot of questions we asked. And I bet you felt a bit unwelcomed. But now we'd like to welcome you proper, because we know exactly who you are. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairman. Before I do the welcoming, I'd just like to clarify. We'd like Honorable PMG as a monitoring part of our committee. Just to know, is it correct for the officials being paid to sit and observe and monitor from the normal? I normally see the PLG committees sitting, not in the back of the front, but safely from the actual officials. That's just a question. And then while I'm on the floor, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity. We'd like to welcome everybody and officially NDA, and we hope that your time as board members, you will serve our communities, you will serve our country to the best of your ability, and we wish you all the best. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for that, Honourable Member. Honourable Abrams, I'm not sure, you know, where PMG has issued, but I think we'll clarify in our next meeting, you know. But what I would like to know, seeing as well monitoring, would you just back in from the CGC net, or do you, have you got something plugged in there?
Okay.
Or you got something plugged in?
Yeah.
Fine. You have to plug on this side too. But normally we don't allow, please. Normally we do not allow, I know that's the rule, the media next to the honorable members. And that I shouldn't allow the monitoring people next to the honorable members. Because normally when people sit next to you, they look at what documents you have there. And we can't allow that, thank you. Whether you're from the ruling party or from the opposition party. But that is the normal thing. Mr. Herman, Chairman.
Thank you, Chairperson.
It's too long.
Bye-bye. Yeah, okay. Thank you so much. No worries, we feel welcome in this house, and I think we recognize that it is the duty of the portfolio committee to ask questions and to be clarified. I think it keeps us all on our toes, and it makes sure that we are doing good work. Now, as a newly appointed board, we have just been inducted a few weeks ago, and we are ready to start our work as the NEA board for the next 3 years. We were appointed by the minister, received letters of appointment with effect from February. We are sitting as board members. In terms of our work as the NEA board, which is largely oversight and strategic direction, I think the Act spells out very clearly what the NEA is about, and it is about poverty eradication and working together with communities on the causes of poverty. So in doing our oversight work, when we look at the new business plan that will be presented by the department, it will give us strategic direction for the coming year and hopefully for the next 2 years to the end of our term, so that we make sure that the NEA is in actual fact doing its work in poverty eradication. Now, the new business plan that will be presented to you speaks about evolving the work of the NEA into provinces, into districts, and eventually into wards. And I think it's there at the level of the ward that we find poverty. We don't find it in the national or in the provincial structure even. So as the department together with the NEA moves in doing that work, we will be there to provide that oversight and to make sure that that we work hand-in-hand with stakeholders, we work hand-in-hand with funders, and we make sure that we source funding and mobilize funding for our projects and our programs within NPA with the end result of alleviating poverty where we find it at the level of community in wards. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thanks a lot for that briefing. We are now going to question you on it, and as you said, you are welcomed. And then just for the department to take a note, or that according to your act, because I see the NDA was appointed in February 2016, and the act is a time frame in which the names of the board, you know, the board has been introduced to Parliament itself, the committee itself, because the board on committee is an extension of Parliament. It says 30 days. So the letter, what we ask you to do is long outstanding, and we would like to have it by next week, Tuesday. So that Wednesday when the chairperson is here, we know exactly who's serving on the board and what is the profile more or less. And you can see to the secretary. The secretary will give it to the chairperson itself, and she will bring it to the meeting. I'll hand over now for the oversight services to the acting CEO, Mrs. Lakazi, while you speak, speak to the NDA report. And I think I'm only giving you 20 minutes. Just to see whether you can complete everything in 20 minutes. That's now. Till 25 past 11. Thank you.
Operational within the organization, we cut those out.
May I ask which ones are we use now? Are we going to use the 32-page one, please?
We're going to use the shorter version now.
Fine, Minda. Everyone has to use the shorter version we received this morning. And when you interrogate the report, you may speak further. But there's a ruling out like making this meeting that when it comes to the report, I don't think we have to receive them on a Monday. We have to receive them the week before, a week before you come to the committee meeting, so that all members can go through the report and that you can discuss it wherever we are, because everyone got their own caucuses, and then everyone can come prepared for the meeting. So let's make a ruling that, there's a presentation that's going to be made and we get it a week before the time. We normally meet on a Wednesday. Is the order? Thank you. You may start that.
Thank you, Chair Person. In terms of the MDA mandate, the MDA has two mandates. One, which is the primary mandate, is to contribute towards the eradication of poverty and its causes by granting civil society organizations for the purpose of carrying out programs and projects aimed at meeting development needs of the poor, strengthening the institutional capacity of the civil society organizations involved in direct service provision in the poor communities. The secondary mandate is to promote consultation, dialogue, and sharing of development experience between the civil society organizations and relevant organs of state through debating the development policy, undertaking research and publication aimed at proving basis for development policy, and act as conduit for funding from government, foreign government, and other national and international donors for development work carried out by civil society organizations. Honorable Chairperson, we want to quickly give you the background that social development conducted a review of NDA, even with the fact that the National Treasury had a concern that the mandate was not clear. The outcome of the review pointed out that there is a need for NDA to reposition itself and to establish its own niche to remain so that it remains relevant to government and to the stakeholders. There were consultations that were done between NDA and social development that followed with the establishment as to how to respond to the findings and recommendations of the review. An environmental plan was also conducted to inform the process and content of the repositioning and strategy formulation. Based on the review processes, NDA analyzes the outcomes to establish a problem statement and then develop the business case and strategy. The business case, strategy, and APP were shared with different stakeholders and approved and it was tabled in Parliament as well. A problem statement, it involves positioning of the MDA. The MDA has been perceived by social factors and some government departments as not well positioned to deliver on each mandate. Focusing and establishing a niche, the key stakeholders interviewed in both government and civil society sector expressed a view that the MDA is duplicating activities done by other government departments and performing functions that should be performed by them also in other instances. Institutional support strata. One of the self planners by the NDA is institutional structure and the ability to efficiently and effectively contribute to its legislative mandate. Visibility and access. The NDA review, Mikondo, and the NDA environmental plan have all pointed out to level of NDA visibility and access to NDA services by civil society organizations and communities. The NDA is not known, and this was a major concern for the agency. A business case aimed at achieving the following in response to the problem statement. Positioning of the NDA, the agency will focus on supporting the civil society organizations, including co-ops, delivering services in most deprived districts in South Africa, that's Mikondo District, and working with DSD and SASA. establishing an niche, the NDA will focus on the CSO's capacity building, CSO social mobilization, and linkages of CSOs to developmental resources. Service digital model that looks into the decentralized services that will be provided at district level as opposed to provincial level. Upskilling and preparation of staff, that means the reskilling of the staff that is working within the NDA so that they are more relevant in terms of the new business model of NDA. Upgrading and realignment of systems and processes that goes into the upgrading and integration of the current information technologies infrastructure and systems to meet business model needs. And lastly, readjustment of resource allocation to agency. The state to increase the funding levels to the NDA to meet the business model demand. This is the current business model in terms of this slide. In terms of the current business model, we have the NDA National Office, which is responsible for facilitating government business support and technical specialists. And then you have the NDA Provincial Office. In all the provinces, you will find one provincial office. And then last, you have the advisory centers that provide mainly the information to the communities, but not in all the areas across the country. So the administrations and inefficiencies of this current model, for example, the NDA programs are currently located in the provincial offices, and it makes it difficult for the poor communities to access NDA services. That's contributing to poor visibility and presence of the agency services. The structure has a number of limitations and inefficiencies as the human resources required to implement programs and projects is located at the provincial and national level. This results in high cost of running business as staff have to travel long distances to implement and monitor programs and projects. The advisory centers are currently providing very limited functions like the provision of information and referrals. And then this needs to make the business to be effective and inefficient as resources are spent on human resources and infrastructure with minimal return on investment. They propose the NDA repositioning model. This is the new model that has been proposed, where we will have NDA at national level that will be responsible in terms of strategy, governance, business support, and corporate support and technical process. Then you have NDA at the provincial level that will also be responsible in terms of ensuring that programs are well defined in line with the strategy and APCs. And then you will have the NDA at a district level. That's where most work will take place in terms of community engagement, networking, profiling and audit of civil society organizations, identify and develop poverty eradication interventions for communities, placement of CDOs to appropriate levels of interventions, work and life with the community development and stakeholders. In the next slide, we highlighted the priority districts that are not that are above the prime in terms of the poverty index. Honorable members will remember that the cabinet approved the 27 districts as the most deprived districts across the country based on the information that was obtained by South Africa. This is how the district office will look like as we decentralize our services as a national development agency. This is an example of a district within the Eastern Cape, the Joe Valley district. You'll find that in that district there are four local municipalities, Eludin, Zebu, Maletswayi, and Harim. And then our provincial office is located in Isandla. So it takes about 4 hours for our official to travel from East London, for example, to Maletswayi, which is Aluan North. 4 hours, you look into the total of the distance in terms of kilometers, 358 kilometers, and because of the terrain, it takes about 4 hours, it's like 400. And the fact that if we have to contribute to poverty eradication, it will take very, very long for us to make an impact if we are far from the distance from the world where poverty is. So this is the showcase in trade. This is how the decentralization and district model will look like as we decentralize based on our business case. This is the same one as the Limpopo. In Limpopo, for example, in Bembe district is one of the most defined districts, and currently our provincial office is in Polokwane. And if you have NDA officials based over the district, it will be easier for them to reach all those local municipalities so that they contribute to poverty eradication as mandated by NDA Act. And then the transitional implementation plan, in this slide, what we are saying that we have adopted the project management approach to facilitate this transitional planning and its implementation. We came up with 5 strategic drivers that will look into the organizational structuring and alignment, IT enhancement and optimization, physical infrastructure, service engineering and financial sustainability. So the transitional plan has time frames, budget, skill risk and responsibilities. And then this plan is monitored weekly. We have weekly meetings where we monitor how far are we moving towards the implementation of this strategy. This is the final proposal for the business case. When you look into this one is 67, is the baseline one. In terms of the financials, for example, we have the overall in terms of the FTEM, the 292 million rand, that we strongly believe that we'll be in a position to address as we move on with our business case and get to the support from social development. The CFO will discuss more on this one. In terms of the 5-year revised strategic plan for NDA, we have identified 4 strategic objectives to guide the operations for the MTSF. 1, to develop and strengthen internal systems, processes and human capabilities to deliver efficiently and effectively on the NDA mandate. 2, to conduct CSO engagement, assessment and analysis in the identified prioritized wards. And thirdly, to increase accessibility to capacity, strengthening interventions to CSOs with the aim of improving the quality of services. And lastly, to conduct, collate, disseminate research and evaluation that inform the national development agenda. So these are the programs that we will then be implementing going forward. Program 1, governance and administration. This is the strategic objective that I've highlighted in the previous slide. This we strongly believe will be achieved within a sound governance and administration environment. The second program on civil society organizations, social mobilization. This program will focus on the CSO's organizations, engagement, assessment, and its alliance for CSO's prioritization in terms of the interventions that is required by the CFOs, facilitating the community CFOs network, as well as provision of information and referrals for the CFOs to other state and private institutions for additional support. The program 3, the civil social institutional capacity building. This program is focusing on strengthening institutional capacity of the CFOs across the country and other high poverty districts identified by provinces, municipalities across 9 provinces. And then lastly, the program on research and knowledge management. This one is very much aligned with our secondary mandate where we have a responsibility of ensuring that we do research. And then we'll also be doing research and impact evaluation studies that will be used to inform program planning, implementation and management of NDA poverty eradication programs in Bigondo district. And we developed the annual performance plan in line with the strategic plan for the organization. And then the APP staff cover the 4 programs. And then under each program, we have the following information, which is the strategic objective, the key performance indicators for each strategic objective, the target for each team performance indicates breakdown of the target into four quarters of the year, definition and description of all team performance indicators, including the distribution of the portfolio of evidence to be produced for each and every key performance indicator. This was very critical because even when auditors or aging auditors, they would like to see the portfolio of evidence in line with the performance information that has been provided. This is the annual performance plan for 2016-2017. The strategic objective was to develop and strengthen internal systems, processes, and human capability to deliver efficiently and efficiently, effectively on the NDA mandate. You look into the performance indicators, for example, when you look into 1.1, number of ESCOM meetings to be held, number of partnership agreements concluded and signed, timely submission of strategy plans and annual performance plans to the strategic authority, and number of is reached through NDA website and social media, and percentage of staff qualified for skill development. And then the performance indicators here, percentage of targeted employees attending identified skills development programs, percentage reduction in regulatory audit findings, computer and functional integrated information systems, and the number of trained services offices established that are functional. And then in terms of the indicators, we have our quarterly targets that we should be presenting to the committee after our first quarter in terms of quarter one, based on this, our targets that we are presenting today. Say by end of quarter one, obviously we have achieved 3 S committees and so on and so on. This is based on what we presented earlier on, but now the targets then are managed in terms of the quarterly targets to be achieved, and then when we present here the programs, you will then be monitoring us against this target that we set ourselves. On objective two, to conduct CSOs engagement assessment and needs analysis in the identified priority awards. The number of social engagements with the CSO on community development, number of civil society organization structures formalized in priority awards here, number of civil society organizations assessed in priority awards to determine appropriate capacity building interventions per year, and number of civil society organizations assessed to register with appropriate registration authority in priority awards. You know, the honourable member that on this one, you find that the civil society organizations that we work with, you find that they register with different authorities. Some they register, more often, some they register instead of the non-profit organizations and so on. So as we work with them in those poor communities, we will then be assisting them to register with the appropriate authorities. Because at some point, you find that some of these CSOs are those that are supported and funded by solar development, but if the legal status in terms of registration is not there, then we find that maybe they cannot then be assisted by social development or any other department or stakeholder in that regard. The number of CSOs assessed and referred to other agencies for technical and financial support is priority towards a year. So based on what we have discussed in the previous slide, this is the quarterly breakdown of the targets that we came up with. In terms of the objective three, to increase accessibility to capacity strengthening interventions to CSOs with the aim of improving the quality of services, we came up with the performance indicators like number of civil society organizations trained and mentors to comply with the Non-Profit Organizations Act. On this one, we are more specific in terms of the NPO Act and the number of civil society organizations capacitated in civil society organizational management per year, number of NPOs trained in community development practice, and the number of NDA funded projects evident to sustainable the programs. And then these are the society targets based on the previous slides. And then the fourth objective is to conduct, collect, and disseminate research and evaluations that inform national development agenda. The indicators relating to the number of research reports, evaluation report and policy for each produced per year, number of best practice publications produced per year, number of dissemination sessions for research reports, evaluation reports, policy briefs and best practice publications conducted per year, number of people who attended research reports, evaluation reports and policy briefs and best practice dissemination sessions per year, and revised NDA monitoring and evaluation framework and tools are approved during the year. So in terms of the mandate, you see in terms of the NDA, and you see that we should be leading in the development space in terms of development agenda. So it's critical that as we do research, we need to also to disseminate the findings of that research so that the issues around development benefit the poor communities and other development stakeholders. In this slide, this is our quarterly target that we have set ourselves. And then this is the MTF budget allocation that we came up with. Honorable Chairperson, I would like to request the acting chief financial officer to cover the budget allocation in line with this presentation. Thank you.
Thank you to the acting CFO. I would like Mr. Bawa to speak with and come forward. The acting the COO that's going to speak.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Was everyone the CEO of people? Oh, okay. Thank you.
I'll give you the email.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and Honorable members, and members of the NDA Board, and my colleague at large. Thank you, Chairperson. As per your request, I will be taking you through the budget. Basically, I think in terms of this budget, the purpose of this budget is to indicate what are the resources that have been made available to the NDA from government through the appropriation process, and how do we intend to split the available resources to make sure that we deliver on the four programs that the CEO has just presented. So I'll first start with how much do we have available in terms of resources to deliver on this strategy that has just been presented to yourselves, and how do we split these resources to the various programs to be able to achieve both deliverables as per the strategy. I'll just start with available resources. In terms of the resources, the NDA is funded through by National Treasury through the Department of Social Development. We receive an annual allocation in the next 3 years, that is starting with the financial year 16-17 to 18-19. The resources that have been made available to us through that process are as follows. 194 million has been appropriated to us for this financial year, 203 million in the second year, and 214 in the financial year 18-19. In terms of resources, as the cash sometimes that sit in the bank, we generate interest based on the bank balances that will be available, and the interest that will be accumulated from those resources is as follows. 3.2 in the first year, 2.8 in year 2, and 2.3 million in year 3. So that gives us a total available resources of 197 million in the first year, 206 in the second year, and 216 in year 3. So how are we allocating these resources to the four programs that the CEO has spoken to? In terms of the budget, members and colleagues, our budget is split into the four programs that the CEO has spoken to, and at the bottom there we have a sub-program called capital expenditure. I'll speak to that one later, but basically the last at the end speaks to the decentralization process to say, as we decentralize, as we start the process of decentralizing and moving into districts, what resources are we allocating and how are we allocating those resources? So the sub-program at the bottom speaks to the establishment of the district infrastructure as we move into the new model of operation. The first program, members and colleagues, the first program administration and governance, basically this program speaks basically to the support functions such as ICT, HR, marketing, and the governance function in terms of the office of the CEO and the board. So the resources are allocated to that program in the first year. We have allocated, that is the financial year 2017, the program has been allocated 86.4 million, 89 million in the second year, and 95 in the third year. The allocation is basically as follows. The biggest component of it is compensation of employees to the value of 47.5 in year one, 49.7 in year two, and 53 in the third year. The rest of the budget is basically made up of our overhead and the cost of running the operations of the organization. 38.9 million in the first year, 39 in the second year, and 42 million in year three. The second program that we are allocating resources to is program two, which is mobilization of civil society organizations. So the next three programs are programs that speak to the mandate of the NDA as to how I'm going to serve the community that we are here to serve. Program two speaks to mobilization of CSOs. We are allocating a budget of 10.7 million to speak to the actual function of engaging CSOs, assessing their needs and supporting them. A budget of 10.7 in the first year, 11 in the second year, 11.4 in the second year, and 12 million in the third year. Compensating the people that are directly involved in implementing the program, so that the resources, 22 million in the first year, 22.2, 23.7 in year two, and 25 in the third year, which those two components that make up that program gives us a total allocation of 33 in the first year, 33 million, 35 in the second year, and 37 in the third. The second program, or actually the second program under the mandated area of operation, the program that speaks to capacitating civil society organization, the program has been allocated in the financial year 16-17 a budget of 7.3 million, 52 million in the second year, and 66.1 million in year three. That budget is broken down as follows. The direct cost of implementing that program is capacitating our civil society organization so that it can deliver on the programs that deliver needs to the poor people. The program or that function allocated a budget of 30.3 million in the first year, 34 million in year two, and 41 million in the third year, and a budget of 17 million in the third year is allocated to compensation of employees that are directly involved in implementing the program, 20 million of compensation in the second year, and 24 million in the third year. So in terms of total allocation, that program is allocated 47.3 in year one, 55 in year two, and 66 million in the third year. The last program, in terms of the area, the mandated area under the NDA Act, which is conducting research and gathering knowledge and imparting that knowledge to the sector. That program is allocated in the first year, a budget of 9.9 million in the second year, and 10.6 million in the first year. That budget is basically made up of an allocation for conducting researches and publications on poverty, monitoring and evaluation of the programs that the NDA will be delivering on in the next 3 years. So we have to monitor those programs and evaluate them to see if programs are giving us the desired results, and that program is allocated Indonesia. This is a sub-program that we have introduced this year. The sub-program will be speaking to rolling out the model of the decentralization. Every decentralized, we need to have a footprint in those districts and wards that we would like to operate from as we move away from the provincial mode of providing services, but as we move into those districts. In the first year, we are allocating a total of 21 million for that program. Basically, 17.7 million, which is setting up the first 9 district offices in the first year. In terms of our delivery model, we would like to establish 27 district offices over the MTF, but because of limited resources in the first year, which is 16-17, we're only piloting first 9 district offices, that is one district office per province, and those are the resources that have been allocated. 17.7 million in the first year, 10 million in the third year, which gives us a total allocation. And as we establish this new operating model, obviously we need to have systems that will help us deliver on this program. We need equipment and resources, and those are the allocations. 21 million in the first year, 17 million in the second year, and 6.8 million in year 3. I think, Honorable Chairperson, just 1 minute. Maybe as we're sitting here, we're asking ourselves to say, going forward, how do we intend to resource this new operating model? Because currently, we only have so much resources that have been allocated to us, and as we expand, we will need additional resources to be able to roll out the program of decentralizing our operations. So in terms of resourcing that particular part of the operating model, we are currently in discussions with the Department of Social Development and the provinces to be able to access the budget that is sitting at ESG and at provinces with a value of 292 million, which is currently earmarked for capacity building. As an organization, we would like to take over that function, be able to deliver that function on behalf of DSC as a sector, and we are intending on using those resources to roll out the remainder of the decentralization program. Chairperson, thank you.
Would you just remind me you are seated? I want you to turn to page 16. What I said, you have so far now about page 16, just past 2019. Will you just explain it to us? Because we were told by the acting CFO that this will be explained to us. You know, the 292 that you're speaking about. What's up? Don't you have it? Once. Oh, that's what you're saying. Thanks a lot, page 16. There's no number on the page. You have 15 francs and then 17, isn't it? But as a slide with all the figures on. Yeah. Explain to us that, you know, thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, for the opportunity to take you through the proposed funding model for this new model of operation that the NDA wants to undertake. The first column on that specific page on the presentation of members and colleagues and board members, I would like, firstly, I think the first column should be reading 2016-2017. My apologies there. And the next one should be reading
2017-2018. Yes. Because I want to add that
okay. So the first column is 2016-2017, followed by 2017-2018. And the last column, the third year, should be 2017-2019. Yes. OK. currently we allocated resources to the value of 195 million. That is the allocation for the current financial agency. Actually, it's 94.1 million. Sorry, my apologies then. So that number is 94.1. That is our official allocation for the current financial year. But we are saying going forward, as we implement.
Which you need to come to India, is that we need that 292
to be appropriated to NDA to implement the model.
What I'm going to do now, because there's still not clarity in my mind too about this 292, because we do, our different members now, we do get the indication as only company in the provinces. Honorable Joshua Lele, and then Honorable Lord.
Yes, I got more confused.
Yes.
I thought they already have money in their mind. I think we all know that we, as a country, when the president was in the state of this year, stressed the issue of the richness of the luxury of transition. We have to use whatever that is in our means to make sure that we give assistance to our people. So I'm really wondering whether this 292 million, where is it going to come from? Mm-hmm. While in almost all Chapman's budget has been cut, some of them with very huge amounts, and also in agriculture, which has got about 26 SGs. In that department, there's a lot of cost-cutting measures that are taking place. So I'm really wondering, where is this money going to come from? I thought Riley was presenting that that money is floating between DST National and the province. That was he implied like that, that there's money that is not being used. So they are trying to move that funding from where it's not being used and then to come and in the. But nevertheless, my first stage.
Okay. Yes, on the matter, and then we will take it further because there's a lot of confusion still in my mind. Thank you.
Okay, I think the African Chairperson, that is really confusing. It's when you put in the province. Just want to understand the provinces. Remember, provinces, even if they can have their own equitable share, legislators appropriate the budgets of the provinces. It's another sphere. So when we involve the provinces, it's another process that would have to take place. I don't think when they do their own budget at the national level, in terms of money and everything, they have to really use provinces because it's different in provinces. They've got their own share, their own budget for the people that are there in those provinces.
Thank you. I think the Honorable Santifias and the Honorable Wilson. Well, it was random, madam. And I think it's Honorable Wilson.
Thank you, Jeff. I really, really, really have big concerns about this presentation. First of all, when we came here in 2014, we were given a presentation by the NDA, what their plans were, the ABD.
Can I just stop you? Because we stop coming to the questioning. We just want clarity on this slide. And then we buy into question itself. Thank you.
Okay, no, that's fine. I'll come back to my question later. I am concerned about what we've been presented here in terms of the budget. I certainly got the impression that we were told that the extra 292 million were coming from funds that were already lying in certain places. That is obviously not the situation at all. And my question is if we don't get that 292 million, does that make the NDA and the third new mandate that we have received impossible to fulfill? And that's a crisis for me. If you need an extra 292 million and you don't get it, an application has been made to Treasury, and you don't get it, where does that leave the NDA? The creek without a battle because they cannot hold what they are presenting to us now. I have a concern about that. One would have thought that we got the budget before we got the presentation. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. I just want us to concentrate on that just for the clarity. And then from there we're going to overall questions. Thank you. Mrs.
Bakazi,
the CEO,
I think. Yeah, I think we should clarify that upfront. In reviewing the NDA business model, some of the functions, it is the functions that's happening in the current DSC, for example, institutional capacity of NPOs, specifically for that, all NPOs on issues of governance, the issue of accountability, and also the mobilization aspect of it. That fund currently in provinces, each province has got that money. There has been a gentleman's agreement in terms of how it needs to be accessed for the NDA to perform the function. And I think for the past two financial years, they've done a good job in terms of providing capacity. Of the issues that we and members also are concerned about, the capacity of the NGOs to deliver. We identified that money within provinces. There is also another element in terms of that function that is taking place within the provinces. So I would think that still has to go through a lot of process, and I think that's why I said we are discussing with Treasury on how we could get that money. I understand the frustration to say if you don't get the money, what is. In the current moment, I think there is a PP that has presented what is going to be done with the current 194 million that we have currently. The 292 is the rollout of the model that has been presented to all 52 districts. We, in this current APP, the NDA has been mandated to implement one district per province, which includes one district in each 9 districts that we are going to be implementing the model, plus the capacity building that we have, which is functioning very well. The 292 is something that the department, as a mother body, plus the NDA and the Treasury will look at how do we spend. If we don't spend, there's no money. Remember, we are required to plan around the money that we have, not requesting extra money. So those are some of the things that we need to do. But I think here, you are just indicating that if we roll out every district and we do ensure that NDA is accessible, addressing that, it will cost us extra 92. Treasury has got that information.
Could I just make a ruling on this? When it comes to this page that you're giving us, to me this is a forecast what is needed. You already told us this is the amount you are receiving, and you gave us a breakdown of that amount. So I think we need another meeting where we can discuss your forecast. And this page 16, I'd like to have it removed from, that should be removed from your presentation to the Portfolio Committee of Social Development, your business strategy and equity. Because this amount will affect you somewhere, but it has nothing to do with what you're telling us now. Because I was a bit worried that you're putting in this amount and it has nothing to do with us, because you already explained to us your current baseline allocations. Am I correct? Yes. Honorable Pulani, Kotsi, and then Honorable Wilson.
No, Chair, thank you for the direction. In fact, we do understand the lack of NDA with the global challenges that are facing us. But I will go back to what I said earlier. You see, if NDA can be transparent to us as an oversight committee to you, by coming to us early and present this proposal to the committee, you just introduce the board today. Number two, you introduce another new attempt to us. Where do you put us as a committee? You are supposed to come and show us your business case clearly what you want before this. You are going to the budget vote. We cannot just adopt or vote for a thing that you never internalized in the same committee. So in future, Jay, it shows that there's a social distance between NDA and this committee in terms of transparency and communication. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for that, Honorable Robertson, and Honorable Bowie, just a minute.
Thank you, Chair. I hear what my colleague says, and I hear what you say, Chair. I don't think this page must be removed from this presentation. This is a projection of what is going to be required for this department, this entity, to fulfill its new mandate, which is the third new mandate it has since we've come to this parliament, which already is concerning. So I don't think it must be removed, but I think we need to come back with an explanation of exactly where this has come, how much treasury is actually allocated, and if they are not going to get the funding, how then are they going to continue forward? Because then obviously we cannot work on this model, we have to reassess the model in the current format. But I don't think this must be removed. I think we must hold on to this and find out where these figures have come from. Thank you.
Honourable Member?
Yeah, thank you, Secretary. I was a little bit worried in the party about this gentleman agreement. You know, gentleman agreements, they ended up in court every time. Don't want to end there. Really, we must not have gentleman agreement when it comes to the speaking process. Let's do the correct thing. Let's just do the correct thing. If that money has the data removed from one session to another, in a way, there are systems that are allowing us to do that, not gentlemen's agreement on that particular thing. I really don't agree with it. Secondly, Chairman, I think I agree with what you are saying. Because when you look at the NTF budget allocation, it speaks to what they are having now. We cannot just sophisticate the projections that we do not have. The budget should be on what you are having and anticipating. This piece of paper really, it was not supposed to be here. They could have explained when they were explaining in the intro, because they're grounded, all those things that they're anticipating and everything. It's fine if it's located there, but not within what is here. That's why I'm saying the last page, which is the allocation that speaks to all the current years. That is what we should be having, because that is what NDA is having on the table for now. And that is what we are going to appropriate when we go to the budget vote. That is what we're going to be talking about. And I really agree with you that that paper is really misplaced where it is. It was not even supposed to be there.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, we're going to stop there. And my proposal is that we are moving, I want the department here, the 2016-2017 budget. And it is here according to what was said. And this proposal that you have here, we'll be having another meeting with you. We need to have another meeting with you because these are projections. So we are not going to speak to it, because if this is clearly lying within this paper, in this, report, then it means we are passing 292, and we know we're not passing 292. We are passing what you spoke to. Thank you. So I'll close the matter, and let us go to questions. Yes. Questions now, members. I'll make an option.
I'll call you as I see the hand is raised. Yes. From 1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay. Then
Honourable Abrams last. Got 2, 7 last. Thank you. Yes, the final. Yes, I
I don't know whether to welcome the presentation or not to welcome it. But at least we are moving somewhere from where we were.
Yes.
There is a limb towards the right direction. But Jefferson, I'm really worried because I look at let me start with the mandate, the core business of NTA now. NTA is an entity, a social development. In other words, whatever that they are doing it on behalf of social development as a department. Their mandate, everything is saying, to contribute towards the eradication of poverty and youth forces by guaranteeing funds to civil society organizations for the purpose of the goal on. And then let's come to the budget, the programs and everything. When you look at the part of the budget of NTA, it doesn't go to the mandate. You are not doing your core function. Actually, I think that you are an employment agent. You are just employing people to give them salary, because the bulk of your money goes to salaries, compensation of to program one, let me just say that. And to me, I'm not a valid
places, I know that if you are clinging for something, or if your core mandate is to develop this or to do this, your budget should, the bank, actually 8% of your budget should go there. Then 20% perhaps should go to the compensation of the people that are going to implement what your mandate says. Mm-hmm. I'm worried about that. I'm worried because how are we going to eradicate poverty if the total money that we are getting does not go towards the eradication of poverty? Because my assumption is the bulk of the money should be going to the NGOs, CPOs, mainly those who will be doing the work, those who will be delivering the services to our people, not really going to program one. I'm worried about that. That's the first thing to say. Actually, it might be the last thing for me also, because it worries me a lot. Most of our entities, I'm worried because most of our entities, when you look at them, they're just for giving people employment and people get paid and go home. But in terms of delivering services to our people, it doesn't talk to what the president has said, even last year in the State of the Nation, radical transformation, radical giving, whatever that we are doing must approach radical delivering service to our people. This is really not talking to that. I'm not happy person about that. The other thing, when you also come to page, because they've got a lot of things, a lot of documents, when you come to page, problem statement, positioning of the NPA. The NPA has been perceived by social partners and some government departments as not well positioned to deliver its mandate. I think what I've said is very speaking to that. I also agree on that. The issue of duplication of activities. I'm interested in whether what were the other departments or the other stakeholders which services did they identify that is the duplication that the NPA is providing, so that we can be able to understand, because most of the time duplication is there in our government department. You find this one is doing this and the other department is also doing that. Can we perhaps maybe be given just an opportunity to know what are those duplication functions that were identified by the different or the sister department, so that as we move forward as portfolio committee, we are able, if we have to defend what the NPA say, we are able to say that, or if we have we have to say really the NPA is doing that, we have that opportunity. The issue of the NPA not known to be in credit. Yes, credit too much, but also when you look at the budget, you just wonder if that balance is going to make the people there. I've seen my district has been mentioned here where I was born, in Jokari district, and it's a rural district in the Eastern Cape. And honestly, they don't know you. They don't know the NDA people there. So they have put Baban Bapa Machuba in my district, on Imlam, which is about 80 kilometers away from the rural town, which is Jakespeare. Those people, are you going to be able to reach them? Would they be able to know you with this budget that you are having? As much as I welcome the issue of being NDA establishing offices in the district, it's long overdue. Actually, you're supposed to start there. That's where you're supposed to start. From the localities that people should know that there's an NDA. But really, this top-down approach of us is really not working for us. We're assisting in terms of a delivering of the services. And then...
I think you answer a question, Jamie. Could you always ask
me? Okay, that's the last one. I'm not going to ask for today, Chester.
Yeah. There are things that we still want to ask.
Yes. No, that's the last one. Don't worry. I'm not going to ask anything. I'm not even going to have a follow-up on that matter. I'm not. Okay. I know. I'm fine. I'll come back.
Yes, you can come back on that. For 4 questions each, Honourable Wallison. Honourable Masango.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the presentation that has been made today. My first question starts with the acting thing. Just to find out how far the process, one would understand and appreciate that the board has just been established. So this is why there are so many acting positions within the organization that will take place in the actual appointments. Because actually there's quite a few acting positions within the agency. And the second question relates to the secondary mandate of the agency, and to find out how has it gone. One would actually would was going to ask this question in this way: could one have a report, some kind of a update or performance report, like of the funds of the agency? Because one would like to see how is this secondary mandate assisted the agency to be where it is now, because I believe it has to do with research and things like that in the sector. So I just would like to know, because there is quite a sizable amount of money that is allocated to that mandate. Okay, the new model, the reviewed model that has been presented today, does it leave the national and the provincial in staffing the way it is? It just adds the district thing, the district position, or does it think the review affecting even national staffing and the provincial staffing, and then so that we rationalize so that the agency can function in a way that has been sort of revised, if you like. And I'm going to leave this one. I have one last one. Can the NDA mobilize its own funding for the time when it was mobilizing additional funding to augment what it receives from the national treasury? Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Wilson.
Thank you,
and then coming down to the other two.
I'll be brief. I've raised my points of concern briefly already. The first one is that 2014, we had a presentation by the NDA, this was their mandate, this was the APPs, and it was all systems go. 2015, all of a sudden the mandate had changed, and the APPs had changed, and we all in this committee said we were not happy because it was not what we were presented the year before. We come again, 2016, the entire mandate has changed again. The core business has changed again. Now we see over 2 years how much training money has been spent in this budget training and capacitating people in the NDA according to the new mandate, according to the new plan, according to this, according to that, and to the other thing. We change it every year. We're blowing astronomical amounts of money on training and recapacitating staff, but in the new model, so that they understand where we are now. I have serious issue with that, number one. This is the third year we're getting a different mandate. And different proposals. We mentioned it in 2 budgets, and we did it in 2014, we did it in 2015, we were about to do it again, that we have raised on several occasions that there is a crossover between the Department of Social Development and the NDA. Hopefully this will clarify it. But that is a huge issue for me. And I must admit that that is my major concern with this entire presentation. While I appreciate it, I don't think it is realistic. I think you are not going to meet your APPs under any circumstances, and certainly not if you're 292 million underfunded. Was not an idea where that's coming from. We all come from constituencies. Mine is Makwani, my municipalities are Phalaborwa, Marling, and Zanin. There are 3 or 4 of the most dysfunctional municipalities that is on record in the municipality. The Limpopo legislature is seriously dysfunctional. We have huge corruption issues there to deal with, and you're telling me you have a gentleman's agreement that the money will come from there. The money's not there. Let me assure you right now, and you're going to have to go a long way to prove to me that it actually is, because I do a lot of work there, I know what the situation is, and that is alarming. Gentleman agreements, as my colleague said, are not going to work. It's a case of show us the money. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for that. But what I would like to be excluded from the minutes is that gentleman agreement. Because we came to the proposal, we not intend this. We have to come back. Thank you. Honorable Mahoti.
I think I needed to be educated by NDA. Chairperson, in terms of the presentation, I will focus on the problem statement. We are an oversight committee that we need to listen to what the NDA asking us. Chairperson, in terms of the problem statement, if you check bulletin number one, it talks about positioning of NDA. And it explained there that the NDA seems that it was not well positioned, so they are trying to find fit. That's how they came to us. Number two, it focuses in terms of the stakeholder, which is the government and the civil society sector. And then maybe one is my question, I just wanted to know. The NDA is an agency of DSA. And it was to remain as an agency of DSA. Is a question there. Then it goes to number three, number two, in terms of the duplication. You see, it went back to that two plus minus 92 million that the NDA want. Let's check where the duplication comes from. If the provinces are the ones that are having this duplication, I'm not saying the province they have, I'm just saying if this money is in the provinces. Number one, who's monitoring it? And if the bulk of work in terms of capacity building is being done by the provinces and the national NDA office is not part of it, if it is done. Because if the funds must be controlled from national to province, so I'm not sure when we talk about this 292 million. This plus minus, where does it come from? Let's check the funding model. We can reject, we can say this thing must go, but let's check the funding model. How is the funding model of NDA coming from? How does it work? If it's a cycle, if it's from nationality to province or the province to national. And when you talk about issue of duplication of the department, you see in there's a social cohesion. The National Building which is called the program for the most of the department are cross-cutting that. Where is NDA on that? So my chair is to say I will focus first before rejecting anything in terms of the funding model, what is happening, let's allocate this money where it is and we can't reject just to reject. Let's check that. Maybe they will educate me before. Thanks.
Thank you. May I just say something to the department? You are going to speak about how do you, how do you allocate your money to your provinces, because I think that's important. And the other thing is this, because that's a very relevant question, but the only thing that I don't want us to speak about is this, because you are coming back to us, so you must come and speak to us about this. Thank you. Honorable Ayers.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I've been covered largely, and also the 293 unfunded was also a priority question for me. So I won't ask it. I want to know, you mentioned that NDA is not known, so what marketing tools do you use, what marketing strategy do you use to actually make it known? Then also, how many do you envisage NDA offices throughout the country? If possible, the provinces, and if you can actually narrow it down to the actual area so that you know where our Indian offices are. The MNE was responsible for that. The EU budget is quite a bit, 3.5 million for the skills development, 60% of that program. How many people would actually train 6%? You haven't given a total, you've given 6%. But just getting back to the MNE, the 3.5, how many people will be trained? I see in your first session, in your first call, you had one session. So how many people do you envisage to train with 3.5?
Honorable Mabila.
No, thanks, Chair. this entity overall. I've just gone through their audit opinion. They've received unqualified audit opinion for our team. And my point of view there would be to say that we must sustain, they must sustain it. Because that is one of the challenges that we face, to say there must be clean audits without excess. But I know as well from my side that it's not all doom and gloom. It will be important that the structure must be there from time to time to remain relevant. So I want to pick up two strategic shifts that I've gone through when I read this report. One is the focus on the civil society organizations in the most deprived and prioritized issues. I think for me, it will affect in the right direction because we must try to address poverty at where it happens and it's at the district level, and I agree with the decentralization. But I'm also encouraged in terms of the capacity building, in as much as there are challenges. But my view would be to say that the NDA as an entity must pursue relentless capacity building. Because one of the problems that affects our community, SDG and POC, is that they don't account. And as a result, they suffer. They don't get money. Had there been a burning point in this portfolio comment. So the capacity building, I think, must be focused, must be strengthened, it must be enhanced. Especially around communities. But what I don't get is the effectiveness of municipalities in this regard as a key component in your integration and policy, and as well as on effective coordination. What will be clear for me is a recommendation is not a question. It's an area that you should focus on, effective coordination. Because what we find is that this juncture between all the structures, especially when you go to the lower level, it's something that you often overlook. And I think the leadership of the entity must focus on effective coordination. As well as I contend with the question of reducing comments, your programs from 5 to 4. And then just illustrate, my last point would be illustrate to us the cost containment. Obviously, as an administration, as administrators, you will not be able to deal with political questions. I would say that it will be unfair that the tech entities that are not there. The provincial legislature of Limpopo is not there. It cannot represent itself. So it's a one-sided accusation by the honorable member from the Democratic Alliance. It's unfair. Secondly, the municipality is not here. Whether they are corrupt or what, they can't respond. And as well, you will not be able to respond because you are not a politician. So upon us as politicians, I know it's the election here, any opportunity that opposition has will grandstand and do that. But I don't think it's proper. Yes, the National Assembly Portfolio Committee on Social Development. It's not said that we attack others. We can also raise it. But politically, it's not correct to say that there are also some corruption in the led municipalities. We just given an example last week, that one of the councillors of the DA has defrauded social development. So we are saying it's not fair to make political statements. You can do that, but you don't want to turn this portfolio committee into politics. So I understand that you and your team will not be able to raise it because you are not politicians. You are politicians. We know it's a political game. But I was just saying, we should not, we don't want to describe to anybody what to say. But those that cannot defend themselves is not fair. I'm not from Limpopo, I'm from Northern Cape. But it is against the led provincial government. So I must defend it. It's not proper that, it's not an issue, it's not under discussion. It's the NDA that we must focus on. So I don't want us to degenerate on the bullshit. I feel strongly that I must come up and at least clarify that it is not fair. Those structures, legislators will not be able to defend themselves and the municipality will not be able to defend. We are here to defend the NDA. But when they do good, we must say they do good. And when they do wrong, we must say so. That's the understanding that I have. meeting with the government. So thank you very much. My question would only be on the cost containment. Just give us a brief illustration. I understand if from national treasury we must cut the unemployment, as the honorable problem going to say. Just give us an understanding of that, how you are pushing, not necessarily impacting on children. Thank you for the opportunity, Honorable Chair. Thank you very much.
I'll be now with you, Honorable Walton. I wanted to interrupt you, but I thought you could just continue. The committee is an extension of Parliament, but I would like us in committee just to confound at the other. At Dwarfsey, and I think we have to respect our provinces because you are correct when it comes to the provinces. Honorable Wilson does not debate this matter because you stones were going from both sides now, and I'm making a ruling. Let us respect each other and respect our provincial legislation and our provinces when it comes to what they are doing, because these things you will be saying when we have our debate. You're going to bring it up. What I'd like to know is just one question, because all my questions were asked already. This repositioning of NDA that you are speaking about, because now you do have a report and recommendations on how it should be. I would like to know how does it affect your act? Because if you have an act in place and you are repositioning, is it still within the act that you are doing it, or whether there'll be a review? The other questions I have, I'm not going to speak to now, because I'd like to put it into summary, because there's quite a number of things that, as the chairperson, I feel the committee should receive, and I'm not going to question you on those things. Mr. President, that's my only question. I don't think I'll ask another question. And then, sir, you have to say how the questions are going to be divided. Oh, Sonti. Oh, she's going to speak. Honorable Sonti.
Thank you.
Because you said when I asked you, you're not speaking. But I'm fine.
I'm the man of Ellen.
Come on, sir. Don't mind.
Okay, thank you, Sonti. Okay. Nangulumini ngendizoyibuza mina ukuthi nje ngicela ukwazi ukuthi angakwazi ngoku this mandate ye-NGA le iyayitshintsha ingaba ke ngokunandi aba bantu basemakhaya esivil services khona zizoyazi kanjani or ndizokwenza kanjani ukuba bayazi ukuthi sekunoshintsho khona manje olwenzekileyo because njengoba babalulekile kakhulu ukuthi bayazi ukuthi kuqhubeka ntoni.
No, hopefully, you have a lot of
shell.
Yeah, but when they answer, you will hear what she was saying. But the only thing why I did the day, she was speaking in this is gay, and she's not part of this.
Oh.
Because I could understand she's speaking about a mandate. But I don't know what about the mandate. That's all I think. Similar to something the advertising. Oh, I see. Yes. Yes. Ah, believe it. It's okay. I'd like the questions to be answered. Because all of these questions that's been asked is incomplete. So you can group them together. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Thank you, Honorable Members. Thank you for the questions. We will summarize as we respond because some are interrelated. But the first part that we think is relevant as NTA is to facilitate the meeting urgently with the committee so that we share with the committee the new business case, which is in line with our repositioning, so that it covers all other issues that the honorable members raised. That will do through our the parliamentary officer and the secretary. secretary to the committee. I think that an extension that we share with you. But the business case is based on the review. The review that the department did to NDA, it was based on the allocation that social development got from National Treasure. I think at some point I was reviewing all the entities that are there in government. So we were also reviewed as the National Development Agency. And as we reposition ourselves and coming up with the business case, we are responding to that review. If the communities say they don't know about us, we took it very positive because that was a true reflection, because we are not there. We are very in on the ground. And people were honest in their response to say, we don't know NDA because we've never seen them here. And in terms of our positioning, we are saying we need to be visible, we need to decentralize how we do business. One of the members indicated that we are overdue. In fact, we are overdue because we should have started there when NDA was mandated to start long time ago. So as we reposition ourselves, we're not changing the mandate, but we are changing how we do things. Which means that if we were not at Mugandhi Palace, we are saying we'll be having our officials, NDA officials, closer to where our communities are and doing NDA work in those areas. Because at this point in time, it's like a person will drive all the way from Islanda to that area. And we are saying, if Hobart is not at Islanda or in Paktam where we are in the office, Hobart is down there in the most deprived district. In fact, the information in terms of poverty in the south of the country, that access has in terms of the because to say this is where we need to be visible as National Development Agency. So we will then come in and share with the Ofolo committee business case. In terms of my colleagues, they will respond in terms of the application, the specifics that we are going through, when the review was done, actually, which areas are we duplicating in other sectors and which other government and stakeholders are affected. They are preparing that response. The Honourable Member Masango asked the question in terms of the finalization of the sentences as well as the issue around the secondary mandates and how are we going to be affected by our repositioning. The process is in terms of filling in the vacant positions. In fact, the vacancies are fewer, the executive positions are there. And the process started, the way advertisement, and I think even the CEO position is about to be finalized because the process has started. And then in terms of the secondary mandate, I think what is being emphasized here is that because we do conduct research and evaluation and impact studies, that what is critical is that we need to feedback the community to say, based on this research that we've done, these are the findings, and the research findings, how are we benefiting as South Africans out of what we came up with? So this is where we need to strengthen. We are doing the research and interest at some point we partner with HSRC and other research institutions. I think that is what is important. We need to strengthen that and then that balance with the primary and the secondary mandate. And then the staffing, it is affected because we had large, big positions at national level at the extent of having people to deliver services at a local level. For example, we had an executive responsible for communication. We've done away with that position because we felt that you don't have to have an executive to do that. So that allocation then can be then appropriated to the relevant position to deliver the commandate of NCA. We also had some other positions that we have collapsed because we want to be lean on hope, but more
especially Bulman Land, where we provide our services. I must indicate that this repositioning in our business case was also well received in MINMET, and we are going to provinces where MCs have invited us. For example, tomorrow we'll be in the Northern Cape meeting the MC for Social Development. It's the new MC who was very much interested in how we do business as NGA, and then we'll be sharing with him how we're going to deliver within the Northern Cape. In fact, what has happened at Chairperson in terms of decentralization, each province has got its own provincial plan to say how do I do business within the province, the National Development Agency work, aligning the APBs that we shared with you, they align this within the province so that each provincial manager takes accountability of the NGA work within that particular province. So what we are stressing further is that we are an entity of social development. If we want to capacitate X number of NGOs within that space, we need to touch base to social development. A lot of times we find that social development cannot fund or subsidize EDD because they are not registered, they are not NGO registered in terms of NGO Act or in terms of the children's aid or whatever. So we assist in terms of those government issues, legal status of registration, capacity, and then they are ready for social development to take over. Instead of NA going this way and the department going that way, then we are not then strengthening and supporting our interventions as a center. I want to request my colleagues there to cover the issue of certification as by the honorable members, which were the areas where they were concerned that we are duplicating the work of other departments.
And then the other thing, the imaging that are, you know, elevated importance. Because we get these questions on monitoring and evaluation, and then the marketing, etc. As you go along, you'll just elevate. Thank you. You know the answer, sir?
Yes. In fact, on the question I said before, Dr. Vian, Mr. McGowan, we have come up with a marketing strategy for national development agencies where we communicate to the communities in their languages, say this is what we are doing in national development agencies, part of access to information and where it is being. For example, if we'll be in member districts, the people then they need to know even community registration to say this is national development agency and this is what we do. At some point, we went to one, we invited in one community in Northwest, in Fraser. When you say NDA, they think NYDA, you have to explain. Even the counselors, no, not NYDA, we are NDA. But as we educate the communities, they'll understand more about the work that we are doing. Because I think that's where we need to strengthen how we do business as a national development agency.
Thank you, Chairperson. The issue of duplication of our services, I think when you look at what we've been doing in the first few years of the NDA, was around capacity building. It was around income generation, and it was around food security. But what we then picked up was that part of the food security program that we were offering were also offered by other departments. And the reason for us then looking at it was that what is it that you will do that forms part of the support of those CSOs that are involved in that area. So that brings the capacity building, where we look at strengthening them, so that ultimately they can get access. So what we will be doing in this case is more being involved in terms of referrals after we have actually capacitated them so that they can be referred. The same with ECD. When you look at ECD, it's got different areas in which you operate. But then the department is actually well situated to do the policy issues. But what we want to do is to look at issues with EECD where we can assist them in terms of developing their capacity so that they can access funding. The same with income generation. In other words, a lot of our projects were actually within DSD, within Department of DI, within Department of Agriculture, and because of that, it was seen as a duplication of what we're doing. What we also did in terms of the new approach, and I think that will actually be more clear, is that we then looked at identifying the different CSOs within the areas and then categorize them so that when we give support, we know specifically what would be their support that would help them to graduate so that they can then be referred, whether it's to DSD in terms of the SOS or whether it's to other departments.
Limited budget as the National Development Agency.
And as we have limited budget, you find that we have limited resources, I mean, even the human resources on the ground to do the work, hence this repositioning. I think I've answered the question to, in terms of, we are mainly, in terms of problem one. The fact that we, I think that we have collapsed some of the positions because of the fact that we want to focus mainly on service delivery by NDA, hence some of the executive positions, we collapse them. It's based on the same reason of, to the fact that we were mainly as national in program one and we couldn't deliver based on our money. So that is work in progress in terms of looking into those issues. The capacity building, I will request Mr. Magomo to assist me on this one, because if I remember, well, at some point when we started capacity building as an entity, at some point we then outsource the services, but we trained our officials to do capacity building themselves, so that we are in a position to render those services as we partner with the Department of Social Development. I want to request you to come on this one. The mobilization of resources. In terms of the act, we have the responsibility to mobilize resources, be it for foreign donors, foreign government agencies, etc. We have activated that one because we're not doing well. Whereas the act does allow us to raise funds for the benefit of the poor communities. So this falls within the program management unit that is within MDA, where we come up with the strategies. I think we can share that with you as we come back with our business case to say what are the targets that we have developed for our sessions and MDA to ensure that we do resource mobilization for the benefit of the poor communities. I'm not sure whether the CFO did cover this because we would have a presentation that indicates how much was raised from the different government departments, indicating the specific resources that were raised within that space. But where we were minimized based on the maybe the private sector, maybe the foreign government agencies, and so on. I want to return my colleague, then Mr. Magomo, to cover the capacity building one.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. I will respond to the question that relates to the to capacity building and the M&E one. In terms of our capacity building program approach, as we reposition ourselves, we have adopted an approach which we had started implementing in the just completed financial year, where the actual training mentoring we had moved it from being provided by service provider third party people to our own internal staff, which we had already trained and are qualified facilitators and mentors. So within each province, for all the civil society organizations that require a range of capacity building interventions, we conduct them internally. I think the reason why you will see, if you look at the budget, the cost of staff there, because that cost relates to the people that we have that works at the provincial level currently, which will be moving to district, that we will be providing capacity building. The advantage of it is, if you look at the numbers that we are able to reach over the past 2 years, 3 years now, it's almost tripled because we've got people that can go and do this activity within reach and within cost that we can control because it's already covered. So we've been actually able to increase the capacity of our
In terms of the monitoring evaluation research, over the possible past 3 years, the area of monitoring and evaluation and research within the NDA has taken a position where the function of monitoring has been entrenched within the practice of each and every staff that is operating to deliver a specific service that is specifically defined. And therefore, staff are actually trained on continuous basis on monitoring and reporting and including evaluating their work. But in addition to that, we had just completed a 5-year impact assessment of NDA, and the report has just came in, which will then be engaging our programs, our staff, the NPOs themselves, because we have been also evaluating our effectiveness on how we support programs. And this also informs our program design, and I think it has had a lot of influence in terms of how we programmed ourselves. And in research, we had been conducting research over the past years, and this research that we conduct is research that is informed by the development discussion and development discussion is based on issues that are raised by the civil society sector and government. So within a year, we conduct a number of research studies which at the point in collaboration with a research public sector research institutions mostly. And we had a number of symposiums that we had organized and presented some of the research findings there. And we had actually signed a collaborative agreement with a number of academic institutions and research institutions in the academic space to assist us, because the number of staff that we have that would conduct research might not be enough to go and conduct some of the complex research studies that we are expected to conduct to inform development policy and development discussion and development agenda. That secondary mandate component is really dealing with conducting that research, having dialogues around it with a range of sectors, including the civil society sector and the public sector and business. And it's part of our program of action. And I think when we deal with the reports on progress, we would actually cover some of those areas.
Thank you, Chair Fenton. The last one on the containment measures, we are doing our best to align ourselves with the directive from Treasury. For example, we hold our meetings in our offices, and example that the board has its meeting, we are utilizing our NDA offices in Cape Town. We are not in our hotel. So those cost containment measures are also applicable to us. Even when we use rental cars, we use the mall cars and not the new cars and so on. So we are aligning ourselves. No refreshments in meetings, and I think we are on board as far as that is concerned. The other question to provinces, during this transitional year, I think and before the current financial year, the budget is centralized in national. But we are starting slowly to ensure that there is decentralization so that the community is saving account in each of the ways that we're spending the intent of money. But we will do the budget, but we need to have our systems in place so that they are able to capture some of the things within their areas.
The CFO,
Dr. Anthony
Thank you, Honorable Jackson. I just wanted to add to what the CEO has said in terms of cost containment. I think in the last three years or so, our allocation has been increasing at the rate of 3-4%, which was way below inflation. So as we were receiving those kinds of allocation, we were adopting by making sure that we cut costs. I think if you also look at the overhead that we currently have and the increases in the next 2 to 3 years, you'll see that we are trying to keep our overhead the same, try to make sure that we keep them below inflation. So in terms of managing costs, we have been forced to manage our costs very closely in the light of the increases that we have been getting in our allocation, which have been way below inflation. So, and obviously, we are augmenting those by implementing those directives that come from Treasury. But also, in terms of our travel, we are using a corporate rate that the DLD is using, which helps to save costs. So in terms of costs, we are continuously finding ways or areas where we can save costs. I also wanted to add, Chairperson, there was an issue of mobilization of resources. I think, Chairperson, in the current financial year, in the financial year that just ended, I think 2015-16, we had managed or we had raised resources to the value of about 60 million. Those resources have been raised from provincial Department of Social Development, whereby they have transferred their money for capacity building through the NDA, and the NDA has been implementing the capacity building for the province, the capacity building on behalf of those provinces. In the financial year 14-15, we mobilized resources to the value of about 95 million, and most of those resources were instances where we are managing the capacity building program on behalf of provincial departments of social development. I think the year before that, I think it was in 2014, we had managed programs to the value of 105 million on behalf of other government departments. Most of them were in the area of capacity building, in the area of ECD. So I think those initiatives in terms of resource mobilization will be continuing in the new financial year. I think when we were speaking of the 292 million that we're talking about is part of those resources that the provinces have willingly been asking us to use to implement the capacity building program on their behalf, because some of the provinces don't even have the capacity to deliver on that program. Hence we are, I think we appreciate your concern, but I think we are positive that we can access that money, because based on what has happened in history in the last few years, that most of those departments have willingly entered into agreements with us every year where we manage and implement those programs on their behalf. Thank you, Chairperson.
Just follow up, quickly, short follow-up on the member.
the response was saying, he quoted the DSD as also having the duplication, whatever. We didn't. Now the question that I have, the answer to will be, why is it like that? Because if they are an implementing agent for DSD, they are not supposed to have anything that duplicates. Actually, they should save it. Of both of them, but if communication is done by DFD, it should do it, even including the NTA in their communication strategy, because NTA is their baby. So I think they really need to clearly give us a report on that, which are those functions that we assist in terms of seeing whether the functions they should still be located within the DFD, or those functions should be removed from the DFD and come to NTA. Remember, sometimes when you remove those files, you can second the same person that is within DSD. You can just second it to do the same, to do the function within NTA, and that helps in saving cost. Maybe perhaps again, the issue of the comprehensive, but with all the other departments, we have a program, a clear policy on comprehensive, so comprehensive social
Social,
whatever, services, and all those services, as to my understanding, they are supposed to be located within social development. But the problem is the other one is there. We really need to have a sense of that, so that we are able, when we stand in those platforms, including the house, we are able to say, you other departments, food security cannot be with allocated with you. Why we say food security is part of a comprehensive social whatever? Yes. Why should it not be? Because our package for now, that social comprehensive security system, it should really fragmented, it's very vague, and in my understanding, it should be exactly within this department. So I don't need an answer for that. But what I need is just a report to know the functions that are really overlapping, especially between yourself and DSD, so that we can sit down. We are not experts, but we are able to pinpoint some of the things that you might not see, because we are always in a rush. In our, we are not in a rush. We read line by line everything. So we are here to assist you. Thank you, Chairperson, and good luck to the new board. I think we have seen that you already need to come in to correct in the institution. Thank you, Chairperson.
I thank the honourable member for that short summary she gave now, because we would like to close the meeting now with the department and NDA officials. And we see really that we didn't reject this. This is not part of our agenda. So NDA will come back to us and speak to us. Because if we reject it, if I just said take it out because we're not passing to nothing. If we reject it, then we have nothing to speak about. So you're coming back to speak to this. And I like the way the honourable member did the other summary. Then the other thing I would like NDA to do, we have a national office, we have a provincial office. Just put in writing, where do we find our national office address and the telephone numbers, and even within our provinces, that we know exactly where those places are. And then I think what's going to be important when it comes to your national office, is it your own building? Where are you? Because we should really know that. What rental are you paying for its rental? If it's your own building, more or less what price you pay for it. Then I think what's going to be important for our members, will be this document. Because the first time we're hearing about, you are going to give us quarterly reports. So when the quarterly reports come, then we can measure it up against this to see whether the department is really working according to what they gave us here, because we are going to pass this in Parliament. Then the next point to be, we already spoke to the modelling, you know, this business case of yours, that you are coming back with us, to us, and then duplication of services. It was spoken to by this wonderful member. Give us a breakdown of that. And what I would like to say to you, in closing with you, just say something else. Now,
just got another meeting with ADA. What I would like to say to you is thank you that you came to us with a budget. And we will be writing a report on it. And then that report will go into the bigger report of social development with what were our findings and then what was our recommendations. And you have to remember that the report will be discussed within the EPC on the 4th. I think it's the 4th of May. I'm not that sure. Thank you. And then whenever you come to these meetings, you come with your DSD officials that's leading the delegation. The CFO comes with, CEO comes with her delegation. And then you bring two board members to each meeting with you. The chairperson must always be present, and then you let them alternate, your board members alternate, so that they know exactly what is happening here. But the chairperson always present. And then seeing that you have your auditors, your internal audit, you can bring two people from the internal audit always with you. But then one has to be a permanent member, the others can alternate. So I'll be closing on this, but I'd like to speak to the members quickly. With members, we only have one. We're not going to do the report on the Eastern Gate because we were three people present there and the chairperson is not here. So we're leaving the report on the Eastern Gate, but we do have the program of the committee. I'm looking for the program, but we're not seeing it. Do you want just to have something to eat quickly? We just come back for 50 minutes just to do the program. How do members feel? Right. If you want us to finish a program, I'm hearing someone. If you want us to finish a program, there are food in outside, my problem is, what are people like? Fine. So what you can do, because I don't want the department to go up straight away, because the food is not such a lot. Yes. So what we can do, there's a department, leads. Yes.
But Chair, what is this meant to be part of the cost cutting measures that these?
At this part of the cost cutting. Listen, we went out and then we just would take our food and we just come in straight away to do our program. And the program should take us about 10 minutes. Thank you. I'm the department.
Thank you.